Operator, give me the number for 911.
21 gigawatts!
Aw, crap.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission: to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
It's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a going dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, my woman and the kids and the dogs and me. Got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. Make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Too many things these old boys can't do. We grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Those Muslim old boys raised on shotguns. From the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the western skies. And we can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. My grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and his taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures of the Broadway nights, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beech nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, 'cause a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. North California and South Alabama and little towns all around this land. And we can skin a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
Thank you.
Going on in here? What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
Why? Lights on Shazoo's out here in my mad science laboratory. I got a what I believe would be a really important subject for you all today. Contrary to popular belief, the planet is not heating up. It's cooling down pretty extremely, too. I believe that this is going to be one really nasty winter time. So I want to put a sort of a challenge out there to all my friends out there in the alternative energy research department to see who can design the best and most efficient heating system with the least amount of energy involved in there. I think that I sort of touched on this last time around where I was talking about years ago, and actually I think they still sell them on the store shelves. They have these things called Easy Bake Ovens. That don't seem like that much of a big deal. But if you actually look at the way that these Easy Bake Ovens work, you can actually really bake little small cakes inside this oven. Now, a light bulb in itself isn't going to produce enough heat as itself to, like, say, blow a fan across the light bulb, because it's going to cool it down faster than you get any heat for it. However, if you could take and transfer that heat energy over to a different system and not be cooling the light bulb down at all, but using that that light bulb to transfer that heat, say, to copper, which is a good conductor of heat. If you had some copper tubing, let's say wrapped around a 100-watt light bulb, and then through that copper tubing you was circulating some sort of oil or some sort of liquid that would actually retain a little bit of heat as it was being circulated into a heater core, you could actually transfer enough heat from that light bulb once the temperature of that material inside that tubing got hot enough that you could have a thermostat regulate when the fan kicks on and off. So I believe it's fully possible to build a heating system using what we would normally call waste energy, the heat losses from all different devices out there. I mean, if you look at circuit boards, you know, electronics have heat sinks on there. And some of these little guys out here these days are actually taking and putting water-cooled systems on some of their bad-to-the-bone computer systems to keep them cool. Actually have little radiators on there, believe it or not. But knowing that we can get waste energy, waste heat, out of a whole lot of different things, I think that some of these things could be expanded on, such as the Easy Bake Oven idea, and be able to transfer that heat to something else without affecting the actual light bulb itself, you know, as far as the temperature wise. So, you know, with that said, there's a great need out there for heating all over the world, In my view, we shouldn't even have to have this conversation, because there's enough heat on this planet to actually heat every home out here for free. If you seriously look at the way that you can do thermal venting and stuff like that, solar heating, and those are a whole bunch of things that we could get into, good topics for discussion. But right now I would like to try to see if I could get everybody out there in the alternative energy community to at least look into alternative heating methods. You know, not everybody can afford to build, let's say, an outside wood-burning stove like the one that here recently I built. And believe me, it's super efficient. It's enough to make you sweat. But it's setting outside. It's in its own self-contained shed. It has its recirculation through the floor, sucking the cold air in off the floor, and then putting the heat back out into the house. So after, you know, you get it up to temperature and you get the room up to, you know, a good comfortable temperature, it will keep that maintained a lot easier with a whole lot less wood involved in burning. And I was pretty impressed with how it came out. But like I said, not everybody can afford to do something like that, or might not even be in the position to where they could do something. But I do know it's easy to build a generator. Even though that generator may not have a whole lot of current watts and amps, it does have enough to light up some heating elements in different light bulbs. Some of those light bulbs, such as halogen and other ones, those things will get extremely hot. You don't want to touch them with your fingers. because they will put a blister on there. But if you could transfer that heat and only have to run maybe a 12-volt system, a cheap old 45-watt solar panel, some old battery banks, something to keep some lights running 24/7, you know, whether it be a combination of wind or solar, or if you live near an ocean where you can make a paddle-style generator, or near a good running stream where you could actually make a water wheel. There's so many different methods out there in the alternative energy for actually generating electricity. See, one of the biggest costs for anybody out here is heating. Especially if you're on all electric. I actually got socked with a couple $800 light bills because I wasn't aware that in a heat pump system, there's a second element that when that element kicks on, after it gets down below zero, and that element kicks on, your meter will spin like a top, and more like a fan, an oscillating fan. So, you know, with that said, who all do we got up in here? Buddy, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, and we got Barry Prince.
All right, well, let me turn your mic volume up a hair here. Try again.
I'll go ahead and catch that. I'll get closer to it right now.
All right, well, I got you.
Yeah, it's just me and Barry Prince. We tried Justin and Larry and they either connection problems or whatever.
All right, well, maybe they'll jump in later. So what do you guys think about this this topic here with the alternative heating methods?
That's pretty good, but you're only going to get the wattage of the light bulb out. I tell you what, a 40-watt light bulb or a 50-watt light bulb can do you wonders, though. If you got, say, a recliner and you want to drop a blanket all the way to the floor, you're insulated on the outside and up underneath, just down there on the floor, put your light bulb down there on the floor and it's a little thing there. And remember not to kick the thing down on it, the footrest, but you put it up under the footrest and heat will build up under the blanket and actually roll up under the blanket up to where you're breathing warm air. I did that, stayed in the shop there after we went ahead and moved out of the house, and my wife and daughter decided to head off to Texas, and I was there to load up everything that we had into a big trailer, and it was cold. I had a cord brought over from a couple houses away. I gave them a few things, and they said, well, shoot, yeah, go ahead, turn that light bulb 24/7, and that was basically all the heat I needed. It did real well.
Well, I've got what they call an infrared style heater, but the actual brand that I got is pretty much, I guess they kind of mislabeled it because it's not necessarily infrared heater like you would think, you know, direct infrared heat. It's got light bulbs in it. It's got like halogen bulbs inside there. And believe it or not, that one heater is enough to heat quite a big bit of space. But it's just lighting, and I believe it that the way that they're doing that, they're not taking the, you know, like I said, blowing a fan across the light bulbs itself. They're actually using that to heat up materials inside that then transfers that heat so that it's not actually affecting the light bulb. So that method by which you were just talking about, you could actually do that in probably in a safer manner, but actually get a little bit more heat than that 50 watts you were talking about.
Yeah, 50 watts doesn't heat up much area. It does okay for an easy bake oven. My audio loud enough now?
Oh, yeah, you're fine.
Okay, anyway, you're only going to get the wattage out of that light bulb that that whatever is rated on it. More light bulbs could do it. If you cover the light bulb with aluminum foil, basically it takes that light energy and creates that into heat energy as well. There was another method on the way to my trip to Texas from Virginia. My van broke down. It was Thanksgiving Day of all days, and I was in Alabama at the time. And I called my friend back in Hampton, Virginia, and he told me, "Oh, well, you're only a few miles away from duct tape." That was his name, his nickname anyway, and he was a good mechanic. But we couldn't get a hold of him until morning. So the whole night I was there, I went into the store and I got me a bottle of alcohol, and I had one of them alcohol gasification cook stoves, or you really don't even need that. You could actually just put it in a can on the, I had the rubber mat floor down there. I stuck a piece of metal that I had in the back of, that I had laying in the back of the van. I laid, put it on top of that, and I did the same thing that I did with that light bulb. I had my leather coat over me, and I'd light it, and it basically warmed me up and warmed the van up for just a bit, and enough to fall asleep, then you'd wake up cold and do it all over again. That was emergency heat, and it definitely worked well. And then because it's alcohol, it's not like trying to burn gasoline or something else where it will asphyxiate you real easy. So anyway, it was kind of dangerous there, but you know what? It was the only shelter I had, and it worked. Another way of emergency heat is basically for the persons. If you look out across the snow, you'll find these little spots where the snow has melted. Oh, those are cow patties. You put it in a bag, add a little bit more snow to it, and it will melt, and as the water gets into it, it will create heat. Kind of like hay that has gotten wet will burn a barn down. It definitely, the chemical reaction will definitely heat you up. So.
Well, there's all kinds of different methods out there, but I still believe that you could actually use you know, a lot of the simple, like the light bulb that I was talking about. Maybe not just one light bulb, maybe several light bulbs to actually build. I'm just gonna go ahead and build one and run some tests on it and do a video on it. So hopefully that. If other people out there in the alternative energy community want to try to do something like that, I'm putting that challenge out there for everyone to see who can build the most efficient heating system, even if it's only just a small room style heater, you know, just something that's going to put out a lot of warmth without you know, enough to survive anyway. You see what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah. You could make a sawdust rocket stove. Those work pretty good, but if you're inside, then you probably want to take a piece of muffler pipe and run that to the outside. You could actually, if you prepare for it ahead of time, you could take one of them old helium tanks that look like the propane tanks. Or a propane tank, if you could take that whole top nozzle off there, fill it up with water first. Oh, first thing you got to do is make sure there's no more propane in it. Open it all the way up, and then take that nozzle off the top. And don't create any sparks at this point. Fill it up with water, then you can dump it out. Then you can use your cutting torch, your grinding wheel, or whatever, and cut your doors. Make you a mini stove. And basically, you do need a draw on that and a way to take it all the way out of the house. You could do that. You could put smaller chunks of wood in there. They'll do okay. It's only going to heat a smaller area, though. Or you can turn it into a rocket stove. Rocket stoves do very good. As far as that on emergency heat, isn't much I can think of. I heat the house with wood, and I'm pretty sure Barry does the same up there. I believe he's in the mountains up there in Canada.
Well, there's a lot of the stoves that are the wood burning stoves. You know, not everybody can put a wood burning stove in their house. It would be nice if they could. The one I did outside, I made this thing. It's like super efficient. You'd be surprised how much more heat you can get out of it just by the way that you set the thing up. Just remembering all the basics such as heat rises and cold air falls. My ventilation, instead of putting it directly through the wall like some people do on these other outside stoves, I went directly through the floor itself. That way it's right down there with the cold air. So you can actually walk across the floor barefoot in this place and your feet don't get cold anymore. But once again, I want to go back to an alternative heating method, because I still believe it's possible. I'm going to have to actually build it, but you know, even if you can transfer that heat from that light bulb, you know, it doesn't take a whole lot of energy to actually light that light bulb. And I have actually lit larger light bulbs that didn't take near as much amperage or wattage to light the same light bulb that it would take as if I plugged it in directly into the wall just by some of the generating systems that I put together. The frequency of the electricity was a lot higher, probably would have destroyed anything that was electronic that I wanted to try to run off the same generator. However, it had enough energy to light that element inside that light bulb. So, you know, with that said, you know, there's a whole bunch of different styles of light bulbs out there, automotive light bulbs that, you know, once you heat them things up, you can feel it. They're putting off a lot of heat. What the heck is that? Hold on. It's coming from your guys' side. Yikes! You're killing me.
Barry.
Who was that?
Good morning.
Oh, was that you, Barry?
Good morning.
Was that you?
What are you doing? What we did.
Barry, what are you guys doing up there in Canada for heat?
Well, I'm lucky she says that I've been heating my house so good for years. I go get my wood every year and it keeps my house warm all winter. So I'm lucky I have that. A lot of people don't have that option, but I do. And if the power grid goes down, I can always cook. I can always heat water. I can keep my house warm. I have enough wood in for the winter, so I'm lucky that way. I'm not an expert in these fields at all. I'm here to learn today. That's why I love tuning into your show, buddy. But I'm lucky that I have wood and I'm able to use it for heat year round. The only thing I'd like to do is make my system a little bit more efficient, and that's why I'm here, for tips and information.
Well, one of the things that I know about the wood burning heater, you know, you got heat that there's a lot of heat waste that goes up the flue. You can actually recapture some of that before it actually even gets out of the house. There are certain things that you can hook into the stovepipe that will actually recover some of that heat. And
sure.
If you was to design a system such as, let's say, you know how a catalytic converter in a car works, right?
Yep.
All right, well, imagine if you got your exhaust going up through a system that has, let's say, 3 or 4 catalytic converters. It's all welded into one box that has a connection to your heater. Well, you could actually build a fan system inside that and have this up on top of your stovepipe, that whatever lost heat is coming up through there, you recapture some of that off there as well. And people have actually taken copper tubing and wound it around the backs of the stove, or like if it's a barrel style stove, wind it around that to heat water at the same time while they're actually burning their firewood. So there's a whole bunch of different ways that you can actually capture some of that heat. And as far as storing the heat, I took in my stoves, all the wood burning stoves that I use, and even my fireplace, I got some, it's probably about a half inch thick steel plating. And you put that down there, like on the sides or on the bottom of the deal, and you set your firewood on top of that, and you'd be surprised how much heat that once that steel got up to temperature, that even after the wood burnt out, you still have heat coming out of there, because it takes a long time for that steel plating to cool down under those circumstances. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yep. Well, I've got a super efficient wood stove, and I have 2 dampers on the pipe. So I can blow mine up at night, should be the way it is conventionally, and get 12 hours to burn my wood stove. So it is very efficient, but I'm always looking for new ways to draw energy off. And I was thinking about running some piping around it and trying that and seeing how much hot water I could generate.
Well, you'd be surprised how much you'd actually get up out of there. Some of these guys have to put relief valves on some of these systems because it gets too hot.
Yeah, we have to feed it right into my hot water tank.
Yeah, but see, if you're draining off that energy, like if you've got your, let's say you're heating your hot water, why not run a section of that tubing through the floor or under the floor as well, so that you're circulating that water through the floor, because you know heat rises, and you'd be surprised how much difference a heated floor would be as opposed to a non-heated floor as far as the temperature inside that room.
Yeah, I was thinking along those lines of maybe opening up the floor a little bit, or getting under the house and running a couple copper tubes off the bottom of the wood stove through the bottom of the house, and then back up to the wood stove and have a closed circuit, and And, you know, it's heat that's being wasted in your wrenches. It's just something I was thinking about doing. It's going to heat the whole floor of the house, and that's where your cold's coming from. So, but the wood stove itself keeps the house up. I mean, we have to turn it down. It cooks the whole house up, and I've got 1,200 square feet here, and it still heats the whole house for us.
Well, if you don't have the capability to actually get into a whole lot of the floor, but you can get into some of the floor, you could probably build a box system to run some copper tubing, like just a whole bunch of it through there, and like an air box that has a ventilation that comes directly up to through the floor. And if you set it just right, you could actually get it to draft itself, like to suck cold air off the floor down into the box, and then the heat would rise out the top.
Well, I'm sure when Muddy comes to visit me next year, we'll come up with some new provisions, eh, Muddy?
if you want a rocket stove mass heater, we can take your 4 cords of wood and probably take it down to 1 cord of wood with a rocket stove. If you really want to make it a lot easier, we can even do the rocket stove mass heater, which basically you start your fire and it's self-heating, and when the wood's gone, the house is still heated by the mass of a cob bench that goes down one wall and down over another wall. It's pretty much it's really neat. You can cook on the top of it, and not on the bench, but on the basic initial heat relief part there, which is nothing but a 55-gallon drum upside down over a smaller barrel that is insulated. All the heat runs up through that, goes up and then down at the bottom of the barrel, which would basically be kind of open before you slide it over. You leave about 3 inches between that pipe, that insulated pipe that comes up inside, and the bottom of the barrel, which is upside down. And at that point right there, you can make your coffee and cook and keep water boiling so your sinuses don't dry out and bleed.
Right.
Basically, after it hits that spot, it goes down around the outside of the barrel, and it throws off most of your heat into the house. Then, from there, it goes down and goes down one wall on the inside, and then takes a curve and goes down the other end, down part of the other part of the wall, which kind of makes another couch or place to set blankets and flowers or whatever, and makes a U-turn and comes back with a clean out at the end, so you can clean out both ends. It goes all the way back over to where the initial rocket stove is, and then it'll go out your wall there, and you really don't, at that point, you really don't even need any special plate for it to go out. Just basically put it through the wall, because almost all of the heat is gone. And you'll throw your stove pipe or your outside flue, you might even want to insulate that to create a little bit more draw, and you put that up to where it's somewhere around a foot above the top of your roof or your peak to about 3 or 4 feet, and you put your little cover over that that keeps the rain out, and basically that's it. The feed, your wood, you want to kind of make it kind of thin. In other words, split it about 4 more times, and you set it down in the hole. You throw a little bit of paper down in the feed hole, and you get everything warm to where it's got a little bit of a draw, then a little bit more paper, then you go ahead and throw your wood down on top of it, standing almost pretty much vertically, and it sucks air through that, through where the wood comes in, and that makes sure that the fire isn't going to burn up the wood. It burns down, and only the ends stay lit, but they've got a lot of air hitting them, so it gasifies and gives it lots of oxygen to make it very hot, and burning the gas that comes out of the wood rather than just the wood will give you about 3 or 4 times the heat. And so the gravity feeds it as it burns up, and then you'll have a little clean out down below that. It's a project. It's a pretty much a three-person all-day job, and basically it'll harden and be real nice. You'll be real happy in the winter because you can sleep on that bench and stay nice and toasty even after the fire goes out, or you can add more wood and keep it going again.
Interesting. And then one of the things you get a chance there, buddy, if you have a site where I can have an actual look at these drawings and how it's all done, because I mean, what you explain to me now, you'd have to explain to me 30 times for me to get out.
Yeah, I understand that.
Yeah, I'd like to look at it, though. If you have, maybe you get some, a chance sometime, you can send me some information on that.
Yeah, Hermes.com, Hermes.com. Like permanent, Permies. They're into, I hate it when a word doesn't hit my head right.
I don't know, but when you find it later, pop it into the chat room. Anyway, there is one other aspect to using light for heating that I just thought about. I basically would say have to call it redneck fiber optics. You can actually get light to go through a liquid to actually turn around a corner. And so with that said, you can pipe light into your house. You know, I've seen them do it with like 2-liter bottles just directly through the roof, but I've also seen it being done with PVC plumbing where you can actually get that light to go around the corner and then out into your room. So if you could design a system, and I'm going to try this too, I'm actually trying to do a video on it to show how you can actually get that light to go around the corner, but it's just refraction, you know, following through the liquid like vegetable oil or alcohol, whatever, you probably, some sort of clear oil would probably be best.
Mineral oil.
Yeah, mineral oil. That's what I was trying to say.
That's the clearest. Matter of fact, if you put it in a jar, it looks like the jar disappears and you get but nothing but a solid piece of glass.
You could get the light off of that as well without affecting temperature of that light bulb. That was the key right there, you know. And so I believe it's actually possible to build a heater that you also could use as for the lighting as well. And as I was listening to you guys talk, I thought about, Muddy was talking about cooking coffee. You could actually heat up your coffee over the doggone thing, you know, the same way. So, you know, maybe a little bit of tempered glass and some metal to build a box, a heat box to actually trap some of that heat, and some copper coil to transfer some of that heat out to a radiator-style system. I think it could be done. What do you guys think?
From the light outside, you'd have to have a big collection area. But if you're trying to collect
No. You're
sun.
No,
there's another option.
You misunderstand what I'm saying.
I'm good at that.
I'm talking about feeding off the same exact light bulb. Okay, picture a light bulb in a box. All right? On the side of that box, you have an elbow that has a glass shield in front of it, and inside this tubing you have like the mineral oil, the clear mineral oil that comes up and then maybe points out over the top of the same box. So when that light bulb comes on, that light will refract up through that mineral oil and shine out. You'll have light at the top of that box. Well, inside that box, while that light bulb's on, it will be producing heat. And so now you got to figure out where to get rid of that heat. Either cook you a little cake or something like that, like the Easy Bake Oven, or use that heat to transfer out into another system that you're not actually blowing. Like I said, you're not actually blowing air across the bulb itself. You're using it to heat up another material, such as oil or whatever, to run through a radiator system that once it gets to the radiator system, when the temperature of that liquid inside there gets hot enough, it'll kick on a relay that will, a thermostat that will blow heat out of that deal. And so with that same light bulb, once you get that oil up to, you know, temperature, it's not going to take as much to maintain it up to temperature. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Once you collect the heat there, you start running your fluid from the heat and all.
Yeah, and there's other materials out there that will retain heat a lot longer than, you know, it takes longer to cool down a catalytic converter than it takes to cool down just a simple piece of sheet metal. You see what I'm saying? And that's what the catalytic converter does in a car anyway. It's just a reburner of all the waste fuel from the inefficient machines that we call vehicles, cars, you know. If you had that same exact system, and you was running your exhaust from your stove up through a catalytic converter, you'd never want to touch that thing. That'd burn your hand off. But imagine you got a grid of these catalytic converters. Once those things get up to temperature, even after the wood's gone, I know this for a fact that once a catalytic converter gets hot, at least 2 hours later, you don't want to touch that with your bare hands. And I know, this because one day I was driving down the road and I saw this catalytic converter that fell off of somebody's car. And so I said, you know, hey, I know that's worth a few bucks, but I don't have enough time to stop. If it's still there on the way back, I'll get it and take it by the scrapyard and get about 12, 15 bucks out of it.
You got ripped.
Well, that was way
back.
You
got ripped. They go up to $200 for large domestics.
Well, that was way back. That was way back. But either way, I was gone, I know, at least an hour and 45 minutes, 2 hours tops. But I was gone, and I pulled upside that thing and reached down to grab a hold of that and burnt the crap out of my hand. That thing was still hot after 2 hours of sitting out there.
Yeah, they have a lot of catalytic materials in there, and if you add oxygen to it with the heat that's already there, it reburns and basically takes a lot of the elements out of the air that are harmful to you.
My only drawback...
It also is used in a wood stove, I do believe, if you're using a rocket-style wood stove.
My only drawback that I can see from actually using that style of system would be soot buildup. You'd want to make sure that you had a way that you could actually clean it out on a frequent manner so that you didn't build up soot and plug, you know, your stack up. Or have it set up so that if it does plug the catalytic converter itself up, that you still have air that's going around the outside of it or whatever, that it'll still let the, you know, some sort of emergency flap or something. If the catalytic converter system plugs up, it'll pop that open and let the exhaust out anyway, so you're not smoking yourself out of your house. You see what I'm saying?
I had a lot of thought one time, and I figured if I was going to use, I'd have to bring it along with some of the, seeing as it's got a smaller opening and on both ends, and it's not going to conduct as much air. Or flow, but you could basically make it where it's detachable at will, and then you could take it and go put it up, you know, put it in the wood stove and burn the stuff out, and then blast it with the output of a shop vac or something to blow the stuff out the other direction. You could help.
Well, you know about
cars have been in, that we call flood victims, that people said, oh no, and they had to get a new catalytic converter. That's fine. They get them aftermarket ones that are worth, they're only about $7, but they pass it legally. And you can take those things, basically put them on your barbecue grill and basically bake all the water and everything out of it, heat it up really good, and then you put it back on the car, and they usually work and they won't stay clogged. But the main thing is that destroys a catalytic converter is hitting a rock. As you go over a bump or something, trying to four-wheel or something, your car's low and it hits it and it crushes that honeycomb mesh because it's just like a bunch of ceramic long tubes with platinum, palladium, gold, and all sorts of other rare metals in it.
Well, you know that one of the waste products of burning wood is creosote, right?
Oh, yeah.
Well, that can be a hazard, but I'm thinking there ought to be a way that you can recapture that as well and use that to reburn. And so this is why I was thinking that maybe possibly the catalytic converter itself, if you could build a system by which you could actually, kind of like the rocket stove idea, where you redirect the smoke initially down back into the actual stove itself to reburn that that extra fuel. You see what I'm talking about?
Oh, to recirculate?
Yeah.
I just have it inside because basically the catalytic converter gets very hot, and once it goes through with air with a little extra oxygen, it gets hotter than your muffler by far. You're actually getting more heat. You might as well just bleed it off the outside of that.
Well, I've seen those things to where they had been glowing red hot, where you could see them clearly as day at night.
Yeah.
So I know that they have capabilities of really extreme heat. And so if you was to actually use a system such as this, heck, you could actually take one of those doggone things, feed off some of the exhaust, and then feed that exhaust back into the pipe itself, and make you a doggone cook stove right there with the waste gas coming out of the stove pipe.
Yeah, and a little computer fan to actually blow some extra air, oxygen into it.
Yeah.
That would be great. We had a powwow, and this guy, this smart, you know, intelligent guy from the city, came out there in his Corvette, and he was gonna, you know, and even though they said no cameras, he had to try to bring his camera. But as he was going to park, I was trying to direct the parking. I said, "You need to park over there in that gravel section over there." He said, "I ain't gonna park over there. People will peel out and throw stuff." I said, "You need to park over there." I said, "Because your car sits too low. You go parking in that grass, it's gonna catch fire." He said, "No, it won't." Went over there. 5 minutes late, that Corvette burned to the ground. He parked it in the dry grass during drought, and it. Catalytic converter, set it on fire. It was great.
Man.
kind of poetic justice, you know.
Yeah,
they actually, the funny part was, he brought the camera, right? And they said, no pictures of this ceremony and this, that, you know. And he was taking pictures. But what they don't know is when you're on the Indian reservation, you are no longer in the United States, not subject to U.S. laws. And they picked him up, threw him over the fence into the briars. He kept on trying to get back, and there, you know, they had three warriors sitting there on the side making sure he had to go through the briars to get out of there. And he kept saying he was going to sue. And he says, in what nation? It was great. He had to be there.
Well, on the stove idea there, you know, a lot of the, just about every single appliance and every single thing you do has a waste product of some sort. It has waste energy. And so what I'm talking about doing isn't like over unity or anything like that, but what I'm talking about doing is actually using that stove to its fullest potential. Like, you know, we talked about the wood burning stove being able to heat water and maybe run it through your floor and then heat the floor as well, and you know, basically be able to cook on it at the same time. There's so many different ways that you could modify your average wood burning stove to literally get its fullest potential out of that. You'd be surprised how much heat is lost just out of the pipes alone. And if you got this thing down to a super efficient manner, you could heat your house a whole heck of a lot longer. And I know this for a fact because this stove that I just put in, I'm going to have to do a video on it, you know, and show people how I did it. But this stove, I had set of logs in that thing that lasted all the way through the entire night. And normally I'm up every 2 hours feeding it, but this is has such good efficiency to it. I'm not doing all the heating the water or stuff like that. I could actually add to this stove and get more efficiency out of it, and I probably will maybe make it a project to you know, have updates and do it on my YouTube to help people with ideas on how to actually get more efficiency out of their stoves. But this thing literally made it through the night from the last time I filled it was midnight, and I didn't check it again until like 6 o'clock in the morning, and it was still putting out heat. So, you know, it was doing really well. Anyway, I think that if people in the alternative energy community want to look into this, this would be a really beneficial deal, because I think the biggest portion of electricity is going to be either fuel for heating or electricity for heating. Either way, somehow or another, people need the heat. And so,
if you put a thermocouple on the side of the flue, which is that pipe that goes up for those that don't know or don't have any experience with a wood stove, the blue is that metal pipe that goes up just before it goes into the triple wall insulated pipe that goes through the roof. There's a lot of heat. You put a thermocouple on there and you run that to a fan. I'm sorry, not a fan, but a small water pump. And inside your flue, you can take a coil of copper tubing that is the bigger the better, I say. But you keep that water flowing through there and into a holding tank on the side. And that will be your hot water. They say it's illegal to put a copper tube inside the flue because it can get too hot, boil, and then blow your thing out. But if you keep it to a tank on the outside that doesn't have a cap, so it isn't pressurized, you can do a lot with that. And, man, you can take need some really hot showers, but you better have some cold water with it or mix some snow with it.
You could also use that same idea and regulate it just simply by putting it on the outside of that same
radiators. Radiators throughout the house would be great, as long as you're pumping that water from the heat. And you're supplying it with new water. If you let it stand still, then it's not really going to do you much good.
And as far as electricity wise, you know, in the worst case scenario, as long as you have access to a solar panel, you can charge up batteries, or there's all kinds of different methods with the wind turbines like the ones you do. And there's so many different ways to generate electricity, and you don't need a whole lot of power in order to do what it is that I'm talking about doing, to run like a cheap old fan. There's some of these electric fans out there. I'm surprised that people haven't realized. You see what Ryan's doing with them pulse motors, and that's amazing. He's sitting to run a big old motor off a 9-volt battery. Of course, is it running super fast? No. But
he sits on the thing and does the merry-go-round thing.
But take that concept of how that's functioning, redesign that same exact motor to require less amount of current flow, and you can get one to move up faster. See, you explained it to me on how you did the windings on your actual flux wind turbines, and I was telling you I just simply want as much high voltage as I can get. I don't care about the watts of currents and amps. That's not what I'm looking for at the moment. What I care about is the highest amount of voltage that I can get out of one of those, and it was as simple as changing the wire. A gauge to a thinner wire and a heck of a lot more turns. So
that's because everything's a variable.
Yeah, but that
one at a time you can change. You step it up even more and more.
That's right. Everything can be a variable when it comes to electrical,
including frequencies and RPMs as well.
Imagine if you take and design that system from start to finish, even if it's an AC motor that runs off a magnetic field, and you have, instead of the thick wire like you'd have for a whole lot of current flow or whatever, you had thin wire, more turns of it on all your different coils, same gauge, whatever, different gauge of wire, a whole total different rewinding of the entire deal. You'd still get a magnetic field out of the thing. You see what I'm saying?
Right. I work at an aluminum foundry where we cast aluminum ingots. I pretty much worked in the particulate matter house where all the stuff that burned off that wasn't supposed to go out there got collected in these long vacuum bags. And turned the whole company and all the rest of the systems, because I was maintenance. We had 12 Stirling engines for energy recovery, and we turned that back into electricity. The Stirling engine is a pretty cool deal for generating electricity. Matter of fact, when you go to a nuclear power plant, people say, oh yeah, they use steam. No, they don't.
Hey, buddy.
The old ones do. The Stirling engines are what they use in the nuclear power plant.
Buddy, you should throw your link in here to that coffee can Stirling engine that you did. Because as simple as that may seem, he was really meticulous in this video, and that's what got me to subscribe to his channel from the get-go. That was the very first of his videos that I ever saw when I was doing research on Stirling engines. But
boring series. It took forever.
Yeah, but if you get that concept down on how to actually build those, that can be scaled up or scaled down. And if you're burning a wood burning stove anyway, instead of running a fan for off electricity, they actually have systems designed to circulate the air using the heat rise of the stove itself.
Right, swapping heat from one end to the other through the Stirling engine and make it a Stirling engine fan.
Yeah, and so
the top of wood stove to help blow the air around as well.
All these
concepts.
They're
more of a novelty, the ones that they build out there, but better ones can be built.
All these concepts could be expanded on.
My series that I was doing wasn't about how to build the best Stirling engine. Basically, the ones that I showed in the tin can Stirling engine were basically not very efficient at all, but if you get it running, then you did everything correct. The series was about how to avoid resistances, how to make the displacer, knowing that the displacer had to be airtight. A better displacer could be made with nothing but steel wool, though, and that's regenerative. The other parts were basically how to make sure that the hole was just the right size in the top of the pressure chamber, so when the rod came up and down, it didn't let the pressure out. You have to get it so close. It was all about paying attention to tolerances and frictions.
Well,
and that was it about. It was all the tips that I knew how to do it and keep it right there. I had so many people saying, oh, well, there went another hour of my life. But,
hey, you know what? For those folks out there that said that kind of stuff, they missed out on the whole purpose of the deal.
I was happy knowing that they'd never build one.
When we talk about these ideas, all these ideas can be expanded on. When Muddy's talking about how they were recapturing waste energy using Stirling engines, it just got my mind to ticking. Now, if you could get your average Joe's mind to ticking every time you came out with a simple idea, and don't think it's a stupid idea until you try it. But you could take and expand on that Stirling engine and expand on the recapturing of the heat coming out of the exhaust. You could build literally a funky looking stove pipe that not only generated electricity, had its own fan system while it was generating electricity, and heat your water all at the same exact time. So you could literally sit down and design a modified version that would just be an attachment to just the stove pipe itself that would generate a massive amount of power. Like I said, we're not talking about over-unity. We're talking about bringing your wood-burning stove to its maximum potential, where you've got very little waste energy whatsoever. You know, even the energy, all the smoke that's going outside, you're re-burning that before it ever even gets up there. So before it even gets out of the stack, just like the rocket stove, it's not even smoking anymore. All you got is just a little bit of exhaust going out the top of that stovepipe. You see what I'm saying?
Right. There's other things that you can do. You can take compost. Add a decent amount of green grass and all that kind of stuff. Wood chips, your vegetable matter. Coffee grounds is one of the best things to start your get your process amped back up as well. You make a pile that's probably up about anywhere from rib cage level down to waist level, up that high. Probably about maybe 8 foot long. You know, something that would sit would cover a piece of plywood and a little bit more out to the edges and everything, and up about that high. Underneath it, you could take one of them thick black hoses like you see at the gas station. Not for your garden. Basically, these don't have a bad taste to them, but they last forever as well. You can take that, put it underneath there, and insulate it as it comes to the house. Put it through a car radiator and a small pump, and basically put a fan behind it, and it'll be like being behind the radiator of a car. Lots of heat coming off that. You're blowing a volume of air. It isn't real hot enough to burn anything, but the cool thing is, It's a lot of warm air, and it will definitely circulate the air in your house. And being on the floor, it's going to suck the cold air in the house, not the hot air. It's going to suck the cold air in the house. And unlike a wood stove or a fireplace, which is about the worst efficiency you can get, your fireplace in your house is open in the front. Doesn't have a vacuum on it. You can't control it very well except by the damper. You turn it down to where you're slowing the air down much, it's a smoking house. But if it's drawing air, then that means putting your house under a slight vacuum and sucking cold air from the outside in to replace the air that it's trying to heat. Most of your heat goes out the chimney. On a wood stove, it's a lot more efficient. You get your fire going, then you trim it down to where it's not sucking much air in at all, and the radiant heat does much better. But if you're using compost heat, and it's just recirculating the same air that's in your house. It doesn't draw in new air, which is cold. So
well, some of those some of those window style. Have you seen the can heaters that they put out there outside the solar heaters?
Yeah, I was about to get on those solar pop can heaters.
Yeah, well,
your can heaters.
If you don't put all your chickens, all your eggs in one basket, and you take that same design and you also add a small solar panel or whatever that has capability of, let's say, running a small inverter that can run at least one appliance, all right, like, say, a light bulb. All right, well, right. If you put that light bulb inside there, when the clouds come over and the thermostat gets down to a certain temperature, it will kick that light bulb on and keep the heat maintained in that for some time until, you know, it obviously gets too doggone cold and it's no longer efficient. But either way, if you keep the inside of that solar box heated at all times, during the nighttime when the sun isn't out, by the time sun does get out, it'll become a lot more efficient. And then when the temperature gets up to a certain degrees, it'll turn the light bulb off. You see what I'm saying?
Right. Another form is I call my wife my heater. I tell you what, a bunch of blankets and snuggling up to that broad, I tell you what. Keep you warm all day, no matter what the temperature is.
Well, I'm happy.
But the other deal is sugar. If you've got kids, feed them lots of sugar and let them run through the house. Let them run. They'll be generating, 2,500 BTUs each?
I'm happy for your love life there, but...
you don't care how cold it gets.
Those solar can heaters, they have a window version of that. So that would be a good solution for somebody to start who doesn't have access to be able to run wood heat. And who's out there in Canada again?
That's Barry Crane.
Barry, you're out there in Canada. Do you have any of the solar heaters in your windows?
No, I don't.
All right,
measure one out there in Canada is so.
Measure your window frame and build you a box that you can set right inside that window. You open your window up just enough to close the box down in there and seal it up really good from the inside, and then turn around, build you your. Put a piece of, if you can get a hold of it, a piece of tempered glass over the top of it, and paint the inside of it black, and then use some either whatever style cans you can get a hold of. I would say if you can use them, use pork and bean cans or some metal can as opposed to aluminum. Aluminum cans will work, but for retaining heat, I would say the metal cans would probably be better.
Yeah, if your can's black, and it doesn't matter what metal they are.
Yeah. And then you could build you a heat box system right for your window that you could put in any window on the side of the house where the sun is actually shining. And you'd be surprised at how much heat those actually put into a room.
Will that actually heat a room, sure?
Oh,
they'll actually heat the house. They get up to about, closer to... like 170 degrees.
They'll put out a lot of heat, and even when you go outside and it's still cold as crap and the wind's blowing, as long as that sunlight is hitting that black paint inside that heat box, it's going to get hot. And since the heat rises, it can't go anywhere because of that tempered glass. And if you double paint that tempered glass, it'll be even more efficient because it has a air barrier in between the two panes of glass that won't let the heat escape out the glass itself. You see what I'm saying?
Wow. Yeah, you got sketches of this show.
That is something.
The best way to do these is just knock a hole in the bottom of each of those cans, stack them up, get some RTV. Your red RTV seems to be the best. But if you take two pieces of 2x4 and you take the side of the 2x4 and put it right against the other 2x4 for the length that you want to do things, you slide these cans together until they're perfectly aligned. Just get you some RTV, stick the can down on it, give it a spin, stick it to the next one. Grab another one, keep sticking it there, and those two pieces of board keep, because it's like a corner in your house, they'll line up perfectly. You're making long tubes with it. And it really doesn't matter if these are, the holes in them are widened out like a lot of people say, because actually the can's aluminum, it conducts the heat, it goes to the thicker part there, and as the air hits it, it'll sit there and absorb it either way. So, I mean, just you could do it being a layman and do pretty much a better job than the people that think you got to have a big hole in it. So you basically line all these up, and what I was planning on mine, the longest side of my house, exactly equals the longest side of the other side of the house. But anyway, it's facing due south. So the house is lengthwise east and west. And the sun, especially in the winter, the sun's going to be down lower and shining right straight at it. I was going to do the whole side of the house and put a framework up that I could sit there and put glass on. I'm going to double paint it, let the sun hit it there, and basically daytime it worked great. Nighttime, oh boy, seal it off. Put a computer fan at the bottom because you want to suck the cold air from your house and put it out there and heat it up, and just the convection currents will blow it out the top and help the fan. You don't need much fan at all. And as a matter of fact, the longer the air stays in there, if it's pumping slower, the hotter it's going to come out at the top. So, you know, any specific perfect formula, there is none.
Yeah, and as far as pricing-wise, there's a good possibility the majority of that style job could be done with recycled materials and almost on the cheap. The biggest expense that I could see would be the glass itself. However, if you know anything about the glass business, you know that a lot of times that people will order certain measurements of glass, and if it's even so much as an eighth of an inch off, they can't use it. So now these companies have these double pane glasses that windows that they can't use. And so you could actually buy the glass first and then customize your box around to suit that glass, and you're going to get that window at a whole lot better price, because the companies ain't going to have nobody else to sell it to. I mean, who has that exact measurement, you know, for a need for a window? You see what I'm saying?
And if you got a convenience store near you that is going out of business, they've got all those double pane doors to their walk-in cooler. Man, you can cover a lot with those. I mean, you make a whole bunch of them, and those can be free.
Well, there's a bunch of different solutions right there, but I'd still like to see the alternative energy community kind of look into some electrical versions of ideas that can be run off of the least amount of energy. You know, even a junky old generator can run at least one light bulb. And so to see how efficient you could actually get that to run and still put off a little bit of heat, I still believe it's possible to get more heat off of that light bulb. And I'm not saying more as in over unity style. I'm saying that when you run a light bulb, it's wasting energy. That heat is wasted energy. And so if you're taking that energy and just reusing it to circulate, you know, some cool air up and through there directly on the light bulb, you're obviously going to cool that light bulb down faster than you're going to heat it up. However, if you transfer that heat over to another medium, such as oil or whatever, going through copper tubing and then down and through a radiator-style system, and then build you some sort of thermostat which would kick the fan on and off, then I believe that you can recapture that waste energy before it's ever even lost. What do you think?
I believe so.
So either way...
Big shout out to Alan. I hope he's listening.
If you're going to be running the light bulb anyway, why not get the best amount of use out of it? And knowing that you can use things like fiber optics to guide, you know, you can take a fiber optic cable and roll it around in a coil, shine a light through one end, and you get light out the other end. You see? And that's what I was talking about by piping lighting in. You know, if you was living in a totally subterranean house and use the sunlight for lighting, you could actually run tubing and elbows and whatever going down in, and you would pipe lighting directly off the sun into your house without having any electricity to do it.
Right. Fresnel lenses or several mirrors all pointed at one tank.
Yep.
You can get that tank if you paint it flat black and then put some kind of clear glass on the outside or something to keep it from bleeding off into the outside. Yeah, you could run that water into radiators and all that stuff.
Well,
if you have a dryer, you can take the exhaust hose off that dryer. You can take big pillowcases or duffel bags or, say, like the old potato sacks, the big potato sacks, about the size of a duffel bag. You can put the tie wrap around it and use that as your dust filter. You've got one on the dryer already, so it'll take a long time before you have to clean that. And we do that in the winter. We plan on drying the clothes at night, and that works real well. Your light bulbs, rather than having them up on your ceiling where it puts the heat out through the ceiling into your attic, you might as well put your lights on the floor. I run my lights in the wintertime. I don't worry about cutting lights off, because an incandescent bulb, 80% of its energy is wasted in heat. The light is a byproduct. So, yeah, go ahead and leave your lights on. Don't worry about it.
Well, I think you could expand on that heat box that we were talking about and actually put inside that heat box some lighting systems, so where as the sun's shining on there, heating up the inside of the box, it's also refracting through a tubing that's going up your wall and pointed down towards the floor. And so you're going to have lighting in there anyway. You wouldn't have to worry about turning your lights, your overhead lights on. I mean, there's so many different methods by which you could use it. You know, light is heat and heat is light, vice versa. And so if you just shine it directly in through the box itself by making the mirrors like you were talking about, refracting some of that heat inside, via mirror system, you could build a totally separate chamber inside that box without affecting the actual heat portion of it, and pipe light into your house as well. So there's a system that somebody could make, you know, without having to have any electricity at all. And then you could turn around, if you wanted to be even trickier about it, at the end of that box, you could put a couple solar panels inside your house, a couple little small suitcase-style solar panels inside your house right in front of those that light that you just piped in, and then use that for the fan to recirculate the air in and out of that doggone box, while at the same time trickle charging the battery that you could use later on in the middle of the night to maybe run some halogen bulbs inside that box to keep it warm overnight. What do you think?
Sounds sweet. The halogen bulb is only so hot because it's small.
Well, yeah, but see, as long as it's in that sealed-in system, that's the key.
Oh, yeah, I've heated my coffee down at the shop with one of them tail light bulbs.
See, we're not talking about a massive amount of heat here. We're talking about a massive amount of survival. One of the survival things that...
I can drink a hot cup of coffee when it's cold, though. I mean, wind turbine's going, your batteries are being filled. You know, go ahead and put that little 50-watt light bulb inside your coffee, but don't let the lead get in there. The metal part.
My older brother.
That goes directly into your body.
My older brother taught me a little bit about survival that I had no idea that it even worked. And you know those little tea light candles that you put in the little deals for, you know, looks around your house, a little bit of candles? He was telling me to keep some candles inside the glove box of the car, that in worst case scenario, even though you're not going to feel like you're super warm, that it would keep the temperature inside that car warm enough that you could actually survive off the heat off that candle.
Yeah. I remember when it was really, really cold and the heater in the truck didn't work, and I had to take my wife back and forth to work, and I dreaded it, man. I took these, I actually got winter tips, a video on Muddy Muddy Mudman on YouTube. I took a 2-liter bottle, you fill it up almost completely with water, you dent it, and then put it in the microwave. When the dent starts to pop out, then you know it's warm, because it's on the edge of creating steam. Turn the microwave off, you gotta watch it only takes about 2, maybe 3 minutes. When the bottle is not completely round but starting to just pop out, that's when you want to take it out. You stand it up and turn the cap. Let it release the heat or the steam. Or you can give it just a little bit of a shake, and it will usually finish popping out the dent in the bottle. And then you take the cap off. Put the cap back on. You take a towel, a regular bath towel, and you, on one side of the towel, you roll it up, and and all the way to the end, and it leaves one end out there that doesn't have anything on it. Then you start taking that edge up. You put your thumb down in the bottom, and you basically folding the towel in half and going back around. You keep pulling it little bit by little bit until that bottom disappears. Then the whole thing is encased. Put that inside your coat. It will last for 2 hours. Hot potatoes do real good. When I went to work on the fuel islands there in the winter, I'd keep two or three baked potatoes inside the boil and inside plastic bags in my pocket. And when it come time for lunchtime, I'd eat one. I'd hand another one to another friend, get back at the restaurant, eat the other one up in the microwave, and by then the morning was coming, and the last 3 or 4 hours, that was enough, and it worked real good. It keep it inside your suit there, basically keeps the heat going into you, and it works real well. But the 2-liter bottle, that's great. They got another deal up there in Canada. I'm pretty sure Justin will say so. They've got these corn bags. Looks like a small pillow, and it's got nothing but deer corn in it. You put that in the microwave a few minutes till it gets really hot. If you smell smoke, then you got a little too hot, but it'll still work even after that. And it's heavy, so you kind of want to grab something where you can stick it and hang it over your neck or something and stick it inside there, and it'll keep your torso warm. And at first it wants to burn you, and that's the same reason why I do that on the 2-liter bottle, wrapping a towel around it. The 2-liter bottle doesn't make you smell like a corn chip factory or tacos, but the 2-liter bottle, basically, you don't want it against your skin, it'll burn you. And as it starts to cool off, you just start peeling another layer off that towel little bit by little bit until it's adjustable. I tried the first time with the 2-liter bottles, and I said, man, I had to keep moving while I was driving. It was kind of dangerous. But, it's a great way. And like if you do break down and you got enough, get you a trash bag. Keep a trash bag in the car. I'd say it's just as handy as those candles and doesn't burn up your oxygen or soot up your car. You go out there and you look for them spots of snow where there's nothing, there's no snow in spots. You'll see little dots across the field. Just go over there and pick that manure up, stick it in there, throw a little bit of snow in with it, and seal that bag. Put that inside your coat. I guarantee you in a minute you'll be moving it around to from one spot to another to keep from burning yourself. And that is emergency heat, naturally by chemical.
Any plus is a plus in my book. All I'm saying is that, looking ahead of time, being ready ahead of time is going to be the key, because I believe, honestly, that this is going to be a seriously nasty winter. And, for the folks up at the top of the planet, it's going to probably be a little worse than it is for us down, closer to the equator. But, here in Missouri where I'm at, we already have cold winters anytime. I hate wintertime.
Yeah, I'm waiting for it to snow in Hawaii.
But, just on the news yesterday, they're talking about 7 or 8 feet of snow up in Buffalo, New York. And I'm like, man, you got to think about that.
I never saw that. The best I saw there was 18 inches of snow when I lived with my grandmother in Whitehall, New York.
That's a lot of snow, man.
Blizzard of 77, it was over the stop signs.
Wow.
That's a lot.
Great way to just tunnel in. Me and my dad slept in a snowbank once.
Well,
it was great. We were stuck in the mountains, avalanche got everything, and basically we had to exit out one side of the truck, and it was leaning.
This is another reason why heating could be a really lifesaver as far as your doggone roof. You can only put so much snow on your roof before that puppy comes down. And so you keep your house warm and have a way to maybe vent some of that heat up into your attic to keep that doggone attic warm, as opposed to, keep the roof warm enough to melt the snow off before it can have a chance to accumulate up there. I can't remember what the measurement per square feet that snow is, but after a while your roof can't handle it anymore. Does anybody know?
No. So, I wanted to bring up a topic.
Facts, too. I think you're looking at pretty close to about 8 pounds per cubic foot. water, and when the snow starts to melt, it turns to ice, and they put more on top of it. Depends on how compact it is, you know.
Yeah. Either way, what was that topic you wanted, Justin?
Lenz Law.
So where do you want to go with it?
Well, heating. It's the way I'm heating. I'm going to be heating the church. Basically, you take a round piece of aluminum, and the outer diameter of it, you would put your magnets and opposing north, south, north, south, north, south, all the way around it. And when you spin it, you put a piece of copper around it. And when you spin it, it induces the copper. It'll melt it.
There was a really good video out on exactly what you're talking about. The guy was creating a massive amount of heat just by spinning magnets across the coil of tubing. Mm-hmm. And you, like you said, it's impressive how much heat that doggone thing will actually generate.
Yeah, so what we're doing at the church is we're going from... we're going to be having the solar panels on the both sides of the church roof. It faces east and west. And it's big. And we're going to just go straight from DC to DC. Power a DC motor to spin it.
Well, you should do a video on that, because that would be...
I'm definitely doing a video for sure on that.
That would be a good alternative method, because, like I said, if you can get control of heating in your house, then your energy bills are going to be a whole lot less, because, like I said, not everybody can afford to do a wood-burning stove or a fuel system or whatever. But with that heating system like you're talking about, if you had a just good enough solar panel or wind turbine or whatever that would run an electric motor, that would get that same exact result and then transfer that heat off of that into a radiator system of some sort, then there's a solution right there.
Yeah, like all the water, like the piping and everything in the church is all there. It's just that we took the gas meter off the property so that we can do this.
Yeah. Well, a lot of the older buildings out over in this area still have them old radiator-style systems. I don't understand why a lot of people don't try to modify them old-style radiator systems to do like Buddy was saying, either use a compost heater or a combination of a compost and solar heater that would send... you know, heat down into that hose and recycle it through that entire system. It'd be so easy to modify, it'd be crazy. You could do it on the roof of the building itself by running tubing back and forth, you know, or just regular black hose. What's the guy's name over there at Green Energies that does that on his shed? Buddy, you know him. Dan, is that his name?
Oh, Dan Rojas,
yeah.
Green Power Science.
He's got a really good video over there where he took a whole bunch of big plastic tubing and coiled it up on the roof, and that's what he used to generate some hot water with.
Yeah, he had his wife in the bikini taking the shower. That was pretty cool. He also, there's something else that's pretty cheap. They've got this plastic tubing for drain work. Some of it is perforated, and you put it around the edge of your house, and it goes through the soil and gets into there and runs off, rather than the water building up on the outside of your house. But there's also tubing. Oh, it's like they got some that's 10-inch, 8-inch, and 6-inch. And it's just black plastic. And all you basically got to do, I mean, you can buy 100 foot of that real cheap. You can throw that out there on the ground. If you want to, you can have it have the other end of it aimed downhill, and the convection current will actually bring it into your house, and that's as good as the solar pop can here. Brings in nice heat for nothing.
Well,
you don't even need a fan on it. You could put a fan, but you have to put it at the cool end.
If a person started off when they were building their house from the get-go and run a system like this, you could actually have this system be beneficial during the winter time, and then be able to cover it up with, you know, almost like your garage door opens and closes, something on a retractable deal that you could slide down over the top of this, so that in the summertime you're not getting that heat coming through there, unless you want maybe leave it a little bit open so you can get enough to heat the water but not enough to burn you out of the house. Do you see what I'm saying?
Right. Well, you can always have an adjustable vent at your house. It's nothing but a piece of metal that would slide in over the end of the duct.
Or you could simply just build it out in your yard if you had enough space.
Yeah.
And then in the summertime, be able to switch the valve away from the house and just vent it out into the air.
Yeah, you could pick up the lower end and bring it up, and it'll. I'd put it at the. I'd have one at. I'd have it where it has a vent towards your ceiling, so the hot air would be sucked out. And the convection currents would draw the hot air out, leaving the cold air to the cooler air to come in.
You could actually customize it with that Stirling engine idea that you were talking about earlier. That, you know, whenever you're not using it for actually heating water, you're actually using it to run a small Stirling engine, which is running, you know, a flywheel style generating system that either trickle charging or, you know, real time charging the battery. There's so many different possibilities. All these ideas can be expanded on, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, and getting heat from one room to another, there's something a lot. I see people put a fan in the doorway to the room that they want to warm up or cool off, and they got the fan blowing the wrong direction, or, you know, I mean, here's the winter time, your wood stove's going, you got the heat, you're right. I don't have insulation in my floor, and I don't have insulation in my ceiling, so I waste a lot of wood. But basically, I couldn't do anything to the house because the house wasn't in our name for some reason. Didn't get transferred with the foreclosure of the house, and we just now got that straightened out. We're actually paying the back taxes off it, and when we're done, it'll all be in our name. So that means I can start playing games with my house and doing all that stuff. But the thing is, the heat rises. The cold air is on the floor. I mean, I've got to have shoes on in my house at night. Sitting here doing my show and stuff like that, man, my feet will freeze off this floor. I folded up a quilt, and my dog sleeps on that. Or he wants to stay outside, which is totally nuts. But anyway, if the heat rises and you're trying to heat another room, well, you need a fan either on the floor blowing out of the room so it sucks the cold air out into the heated room, which is like, because, you know, you don't spend your life on the ceiling, you spend your life on the floor, just because of gravity or something. But if you got you put the fan at the top of the doorway blowing into the room that you want, then the cold air will still come out, but it doesn't feel like a fast breeze freezing you.
Well,
and the heat will go into the other room nicely.
To expand on what you just said, majority of the heat in your house is on the ceiling. I mean, if you stand on a chair and have your head up at the ceiling, you're going to be a whole lot warmer than you would be on the floor. So imagine if you took that same concept and you put a ductwork that would be up on the top of your ceiling that came down the wall and then right straight onto the floor, and then you had a slow moving fan that would circulate the heat from the top of the ceiling down across the floor and then back up again.
Right. And having bunk beds is great. Everybody fights over the top bunk.
Well, you know, that's another, that one simple solution right there with the ductwork that would, you know, be up there. If you put those in every single room where all the heat is up at the ceiling as opposed to down the floor, and you got that recirculated, it might get so warm and run you out of there.
Yeah.
So there's a few ideas there, all of which could be expanded on, you know. And like I said, there's so much wasted energy out there, it's just crazy. I don't understand why it is that people, from the start to finish, will build the standard cracker box house and not try to think ahead of time to make this thing efficient. I had a buddy that lived back in the woods not too far from where I'm at that before he laid his concrete foundation down, he took some of that plastic tubing that you'd use for hot water. I think they call it PEX. And he turned around and he ran it all the way back and forth across the floor. and then had a solar heater outside that would heat the water just like you were talking about with the circled up hose, and then that water would circulate down in through the floor and then rise up, and it cut his heating bill astronomically. And then whenever he was building his walls, he went out and got the best insulation that he could get. You know, there's some really good foam board that has some really good insulation value on these days, that if you put that on your walls, you'd be surprised how much more efficient your heating would be to begin with.
Your heating and electric bill, your heating and cooling is the biggest part of your electric bill. People think it's the lights. A light bulb running for like 2 hours is only going to run you about 13 cents.
If you could give up a couple inches on each wall of your house and insulate your doggone rooms with that foam insulation that I'm talking about, and then maybe panel over the top of that, you're essentially making a furnace, you know?
Yeah. The foam board, that stuff's anywhere from an inch and a half to 2 inches thick. Make your house an igloo.
Yeah, most of your doggone heat loss in your house.
My fluorescent lamps actually sit I got it mounted to the ceiling rather than cutting a hole in the ceiling because it's wired. Yeah, I don't feel like framing the ceiling and doing all that stuff. I just put screws into the studs up there in the ceiling, and I have it pointed the direction that I want it to. I've got plenty of room to sit here. I was thinking about, I think they're like $20 a board. It'd probably take me less than $100 to insulate the ceiling. Real easy. I could do that. I'm a pretty small house. That's the only thing that makes it bearable as far as the winter comes. But that heat in the summertime, oh my goodness, you put your hand on the ceiling, and because the attic is so hot, man, you don't want to leave your hand on my ceiling very long.
If any of you got friends with the fire department, go down there and talk to one of your friends from the fire department. Most fire departments these days have thermal imagers that you can actually take and go out to your house, and at night you could, you can do it during daylight too, but either way, during cold weather, whenever you're heating your house, you can actually see where the heat is leaking out of your house. And so you could plug all the leaks is what I'm saying. If you was to take snapshots of every single spot of your house from all different directions of where you're having all these heat losses with this thermal imager, you can tell exactly where you're losing all your heat, and you'd be surprised at how much more efficient you would have by sealing up a few cracks. So,
that's right.
There's an idea. Go check out somebody if you got friends in the fire department and ask them if they can somehow get one of those thermal imagers over there and check out your house or your apartment or whatever. You know, even if you modified your apartment, I don't know how most people's leases are that won't let you do certain things to your apartment, but they don't build these things like they should. They're not insulated as well as they could be, and you're wasting a whole lot of energy just trying to heat or cool your house. But if you insulated the heck out of that with that board, if you had the little bit of skills and took the time to pull the panels off the wall or re-drywall the doggone thing, but before you put the drywall back up, you take in between each one of these studs and cut you some foam and seal this thing up airtight, and then put that drywall back up, paint your walls, they'd never even know you done did it. But your room would be the best heated and the best cooled in that entire building.
Oh yeah. If you live in an apartment, go for the second to the top floor.
Yep.
Because the heat from below you is going to come through.
Yeah, that might be a thing too. If you're on the second floor, the guy's heat down there is going to be helping yours.
So yeah, that's right.
You insulate your walls, you insulate your ceiling, and the guy above you, you know, hey, he's going to have to insulate his too, because your heat ain't being wasted out of your room.
That's right. Works real good. It's called community heat.
But there's a few simple ideas. I'm going to try to do a video here pretty soon, because I think this is a really important subject on heating, and if we could actually get systems to be more efficient than what they are. There's a lot of materials out there that retain heat for a long time, ceramics being one of them. You know,
man, they used to heat the baths up with, they throw big stones in the fire.
What's that material that they use for putting microwave bowls?
Pyrex? No, not Pyrex.
Well, either way, there's certain glasses that are microwavable that when you put them in that doggone microwave, that glass gets so doggone hot, and it stays hot for a long time. I know my wife cooks out of them things every once in a while, and you better grab it with a hot pad before she hands it to you, or you're going to be not too much of a happy camper when you got blisters the size of Texas on your hand. But either way, materials like that, if you took and used materials, look at all these space heaters out there that use like ceramics inside there. They use those ceramics for a reason, because they retain a lot of heat. So with that said, the same reason on the catalytic converter, why, you know, they got that ceramic honeycomb inside there with all the different materials or whatever, and that retains a lot of heat. So using all the things that you know of materials that do retain heat, and materials that are really good conductors of heat, such as copper. Copper is a really good conductor of electricity, but it's also a really good conductor of heat, and it will distribute the heat equally. And I had a buddy of mine who took a big sheet of copper plating, and of course it was expensive as all get out, because copper prices were about $1 a pound there at the time just for scrap alone. But he took a big sheet of copper plating and stuck it down on the floor right in front of his fireplace. And you would be surprised how much radiant energy came off of that copper plate that would have otherwise been not very well used inside the house as far as distributing that heat around. He had a lot of radiant energy coming off that copper plate that was sitting on the floor in front of his stove. So there's some things to factor in. What do you guys think? Don't everybody talk at once. I'm jumping the microphone, chip a tooth.
Yeah,
sorry, I just got back. I was putting wood in the wood stove.
Well, did you hear the part about the copper plate on the floor?
No, sir.
If somehow or another you can afford to get a sheet of copper, whether it be 16 gauge, or I don't remember what all the gauges are of sheet metal, but if you can get a sheet metal, a piece of copper plate or whatever to put right in front of that wood-burning stove, it will pick up radiant heat and help disperse that through your house.
Right.
Yes.
They used to, in Rome, they used to heat the baths with big rocks that they had in the fire. They just dropped them in the pool of water.
Well,
a big rock will sit there and store a lot of heat, and basically it didn't take very much. That's how they heated the baths, the city baths, with rocks.
Yeah.
A little easier to pick up while it's in the water, because it weighs less, and then roll it out the side. What they do is they roll it out of the fire and roll it right off into the edge into the pool with sticks.
That's a good point about the rocks, because there are a bunch of rocks, and some of them you may be able to find naturally in your own environment that will retain heat. That's why they use rocks in the saunas and stuff like that. They heat them rocks up. It doesn't take near as much to keep them hot, because once those rocks are up, they'll stay hot for a while.
Mm-hmm.
So, like I said, there's a whole bunch of ideas there, and on the wood-burning stove ideas and stuff like that, everybody thinks about heat rising, but there's also energy coming from underneath the fire itself. So if you actually had some steel plating at the bottom of your wood-burning stove, the thicker the better. If you've got a half inch or an inch steel plating on the bottom that your actual logs are burning on, you still have to have some sort of space for your ash to be able to fall down through to the collection tray. But if you do it just right, you'll have more than enough room for the ash to be able to get in and out. And then at the bottom of it, also you could run some copper tubing down around the bottom and then circulate that water outside the stove. With a few modifications, you could get that wood-burning stove to be so incredibly efficient for not only generating electricity via like Peltier elements that work off a temperature differential, cold on one side and hot on the other will put out electricity out of them Peltier elements. The thermocouples that Muddy talked about earlier, those things will put out energy as well. and maybe one of them only put out a few millivolts or whatever, but several of them, you know, keep adding them up, and you could make a system by which you could actually start taking all that waste energy that's going by the wayside and costing you an astronomical amount of money and use it and save yourself a lot of money. So there's a whole lot of ideas there. Every one of them could be expanded on. Well, we got radio silence again. Don't everybody jump the microphone at once. Why don't you hurt yourself?
Don't chip the tooth.
Yeah.
I have a hard time staying on topic.
Oh. Well, then that tells me you're thinking, but write down what you're thinking so you don't forget it. You know?
Always.
That's another good reason that these podcasts are up there, everybody.
Take the wind, your wind generator, if you have a wind generator, and just divert it straight from the batteries into a 12-volt heater element for the hot water. And you can take your wattage from that. Some of them are up to 1,500 watts, which is basically equal to a space heater. Also, you can sit there and just go ahead and run lights. As many of those incandescent lights that you can get, call the lamp bank, and do that when you're not using the red. If it starts getting cold, then turn something off in your house that doesn't create heat, and go ahead and divert it.
Oops. One thing you said earlier about putting your lighting on the floor, I've been thinking about that all the time. If you took and you got some tempered glass that was thick enough to literally stand on, and you built you a light box at the bottom of the floor, and then you had your actual lighting in the floor itself, and then on the ceiling you had a mirror to reflect that lighting back down, you could not only get the heat rise off of that light bulb, but you could also get the reflection off the mirror in order to keep your heat going, to keep the light going.
It'd be some nice ambient light because it reflects off the ceiling before it comes down.
Yeah. Anyway, I was about to say something about podcasts. On Awake Radio, if you go to Awake Radio YouTube, they always put their podcast up on YouTube for you to come back and listen in. There's a lot of ideas on them deals. I encourage anybody to go over there and subscribe to that YouTube and listen in on them ideas. And on here on ShazizRadio.com, we put our podcast up there for you to listen to later. Just go down and listen to all the podcasts from the Knights of the Round Table to the Mad Science, and you might find an idea that would be beneficial for you. This is what we do this for, is so that you can have these ideas to expand on. You know, just the little simple ideas that we were talking about today, if you actually put them into practice, build you a window solar heater, the wind turbine idea like Muddy was saying, or the composting heating, or being able to run the tubing across your ceiling, and using everything you know about simple science and refracting light, piping light into any portion of your house. You can use the light that you're piping in to run solar panels inside your house. So you would never have to worry about them getting covered up by dirt or snow, unless you just never dust your house. Then I guess, you know, that'd be a problem there. But, you know, just keep them dusted off once in a while inside your house. And, you know, hey, there you go. You've got power inside your house. You got light inside your house. You got heat inside your house. And most of this stuff could be done on the cheap. And a lot of it could be done with recycled materials. So, you know, with that said, instead of throwing all your metal cans into the landfill, recycle them. Use them, you know.
Yeah, in industry, they got these deals, these solar light collection panels. And they're basically built like a feed horn, mirrored in, so the light is collected and focused into many fibers, or basically into is it all on down, and then it comes to a hole, which is nothing but like one of your round heating ducts or air conditioning tubes, and the sides of those are mirrored, and at the top of it, they have the infrared radiation block, so it doesn't create heat. They can either open it or close it. In the wintertime, they go ahead and open it. And as the light comes down that mirrored shaft, and it comes into the room. It's much brighter than your normal lights, but it throws off a lot of heat. And at the top of that duct, they go ahead and collect the heat, so it keeps blowing, and they blow that back down. And then in the summertime, they just close off that infrared, and that tube stays cool.
Well,
still
let
the light just your regular light. It still puts off a little bit of heat, but not as much.
One of the biggest issues in all electronics is trying to disperse waste heat. You know, that's what they got the doggone, what do they call those metal plates on top of your processor? Doggone it, I hate it when that happens. The cooling fins on top of your doggone processors.
Heat sinks.
They have heat sinks on there for a reason, to get rid of that doggone heat. I mean, if you're going to be running your computer anyway and you need a little bit of extra heat, so what? Throw it out there in the room. Cool your doggone computer off or something. Yeah, every little bit counts. All you're doing is moving the energy source from one side to the other, you know?
Yeah, just transferring heat from one point to another.
Yeah, so you're not...
doing it. You don't get any more out of it. It's not 0 point, but through each transition from electrical to mechanical, mechanical to electrical, to heat to whatever, there are losses. But
if you're inside,
waste energy, use it.
If you're inside a closed area and you got heat to get rid of and you need heat, then there are no losses, no matter how mechanically you go, because the energy you put in is the energy you got out. You just moved it around to keep your toes warm instead of, you know, letting the ceiling have all the heat. I mean, if you have a bird and he's hanging from the ceiling up there in his cage, he's probably going to fry. He's not going to be happy with you. But if you take that, use that duct idea we were talking about, and suck that hot air off the ceiling down and blow it across your floor, you'd be surprised how much more efficient your heating's going to be. Anyway, we're down to the wire, man.
The other deal is it's like your old lab and house is basically underground.
Yep.
Man, that is great. That regulates your temperature wonderfully. I'd like to build something that goes partially underground. That'd be awesome.
Well, if I had my my best go, I would have a totally subterranean house that, I'd have to get out there every once in a while and mow my roof.
Yeah.
That would be the best go because,
don't do it with the zero turn. Too heavy.
Yeah, they call some of these hobbit holes or whatever. I see in some of the foreign countries over there, they have these really neat looking houses built into the side of the hill. And their energy bills are like next to nothing because they got double pane glass on the front so they can still get light in. They're piping lighting in, like I was talking about, using the refraction from like mineral oils and stuff like that. So, they're super efficient. So if you have the opportunity to build your house on the side of a hill, that's the best go there. But in the meantime, to work with what you got, we put out some simple ideas out there, and I hope it's been beneficial. So, you want to give everybody your YouTube channel and all that kind of stuff? We've got like 7 minutes left here.
www.youtube.com/user/muddymuddymud with two D's, man with two N's. The mud man is 8 letters, so it's just muddy, muddy, just like you normally spell it. You put it all together in one word, muddy, muddy, mud man. And you can look for the winter tips, and Stirling engines. I've got a Stirling engine fan that kicks, or you'll see Stirling engine on alcohol, and you can check out the Stirling engine that I got there. That's got a glass wall. The glass doesn't conduct heat near as fast as the tin does. So you get to use all of the energy from both ends. And it doesn't swap, up the walls. It actually gets used in the transfer of heat through the air. You'll see it when you see it. It shows how it works. It's nice to be able to see the inside of the pressure chamber through the glass. Works much better. I think you'll probably enjoy that. And many other projects on how to do everything pretty much out of the trash can or next to free. So... anyway, that's enough for me. Many good things to you and yours. I'm Scott Brown, Muddy Muddy Mudman, on Shazam's Mad Science.
Well, Thank you for that, Muddy. And I guess it looks like Justin dropped off and Dublin's not in there. So with that said, I'll finish this off with a little song. But in the meantime, I want everybody out there in the alternative energy community to at least think about looking into alternative heating. And for those individuals out there, before it really gets to super nasty cold, try to look into some sort of alternative and emergency heating stuff. You know, there are methods out there that you can use that are cheap and inefficient. And like Muddy said, there's a lot of freebies out there in the dump and recyclables that you can actually use to build a lot of these things that we're talking about. Those solar heaters that fit inside your window frame. You know, it's not going to add too much to your house, and you can actually make them adjustable to different angles, you know, with a little simple woodworking and stuff like that. You can make them to wherever the sun is, that's where that thing's aiming. But any of these things is better than none of these things if it gets down to the point and the power grid actually does go down and you don't have heating in your house. You know, I want everybody's to be safe and warm and everything like that. So with that said, look into alternative heating, look into alternative food sources and things like that for just such a case of a worst case scenario. And I'll say peace and love to everybody and play us up out of here with a tune. So everybody take care.
Something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speaking their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. A thousand people in the street singing songs and a carrying signs. Mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Strikes deep into your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop. Children, what's that sound?
The voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission: to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Crap!
Operator, give me the number for 911.